You're like giving us way too much time to be weird.
Breathing. Guys, welcome to the episode of Into the West Comics. My name is Frank. The hot dog corn dog Paul is here.
I'm here.
And he has a girlfriend.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Before we go any further.
I can't avoid that.
He was getting hit on an unnamed sports show today in the comments.
I did get hit on an unnamed sports show.
Very handsome.
Yes.
Oh. It wasn't you or Dre saying that.
No.
Okay, good.
I mean, Quan read it, so he did say it.
Okay. Uncle Nephew Shane is here. He's back from the wedding. You're back from WrestleMania weekend. You're recovering from everything.
Yeah, I'm back.
Refreshed
and
new.
I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go. This is the more sober me.
Oh, no kidding.
Because, you know, I overdid it at the wedding. Last week you guys
at the wedding
me.
You overdid
at
it?
Wedding.
Yeah.
Mania weekend you didn't overdo it.
So, no, that's what I want to talk about.
That you just
too.
Did it.
I just did it.
So Mania I went weekend. To Shane's house on a sorry.
Night one.
Night
we
one.
I guess about it. She was there live.
I think I just got yelled at for like 10 minutes straight before
did.
I left.
Oh, you did.
No, like.
Oh, I absolutely did.
He like, did not.
It wasn't. Like,
it was all in good fun.
In anger. It was just
it was goof. It was
Shane
goof.
Was a little loose, and everything he said was very
a
loud.
A little loose.
Of course I was loud.
Anyways.
Please welcome our special guest. She just had a WrestleMania experience to, blow everybody's socks off. She is the tri-state tribal chief.
Yeah.
Please welcome all the way from Cloud City into our dreams. Get out of our car and into our dreams. Wait a minute. Our
the
dreams.
Other way.
Get out of my
troubles. You keep going?
Please welcome. Acknowledge her.
Acknowledge
please
her.
Please welcome. Tessa Gray is here. First things first.
Nobody, you can't.
I'm sorry for the introduction. I'm sorry for. Oh, you're putting your finger in the air like acknowledge it. Okay. Yeah. Acknowledge her.
Acknowledge her.
How was WrestleMania weekend? Or was you were there on Saturday, right?
Yeah, just the Saturday. I gotta say, I love a show where I come on and it's like first thing. I'm sorry. Sorry for speaking.
We apologize regularly.
What?
WrestleMania was sick, dude. It was great. It was in Philly, and I'm like half an hour from Philly. It was actually a holiday present from my dad. So I got tickets from him, and my friend Matt and I went up, and we went to comic shops and food places all day, and then at the end of the day, we did WrestleMania.
Can you imagine, Frank, luckiest woman in the world? Huh?
Yeah, you got to go to WrestleMania. I spent the day with these guys. I had a great time. Still, it's not the same.
Yeah, while we parked at the stadium, and then we took a little train into Philly and, like, you know, frolicked around there.
Ooh,
and
sure.
While we were on the train on the way back that was, like, full of people going to WrestleMania, Matt was like, oh, yeah, this is one of the reasons I never wanted to go to a wrestling show again in my life. I hate this, and I've never wanted to do another one. And I was like, why? Why am I taking you to WrestleMania? I could have taken someone else to WrestleMania.
Could have taken Shane.
Yeah, you could have taken Shane. Yeah.
I would have had a great time. Yeah.
You probably would have lost him, but you would have probably taken him, yeah. Maybe next year, it's rumored to be in Minneapolis next year. So maybe, ooh, you know, we'll do the con tour and then we could do WrestleMania weekend, a little meetup.
That might sure. be something.
How expensive are tickets to WrestleMania?
I mean,
they're money.
They're money.
Yes, it costs
money.
A few dollars.
I figured as much.
Yeah, more than 10.
Let's just say
but
that.
Less than
900?
A grand?
No, it's probably a grip. It's more of a grip than that.
I'm cheap. That's why I didn't buy my own.
Gotcha.
That's the way to do
us
it.
Too.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We just sneak in. What we do? We formulate a plan.
No, what we do in. Is we all hang out in Shane's living room and watch it. That's what we do.
It's almost as good.
And then Paul gets yelled at, and then later Shane's wife yells at all of us.
I left before that happened. I wasn't there for that.
Not all of us get to go to Shane's.
Not Quan.
Yeah, you
not
weren't Quan. In town.
No.
Wait, you left before the end of the show?
No. The show ended. I just, okay. Well, what's the show? Shane or WrestleMania?
No. He saw the whole WrestleMania.
Because if Shane is the show, then I left before the end of the show.
Well, I was imbibed.
No, he left. We were there for another
I watched
hour.
The
end. Yeah, another hour.
But I mean, when you left, we were there for another hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then we're getting the look.
To leave.
Yeah, and then my wife comes down and gives everyone the look. Like, they're still here? Yeah, they're still here. But...
She seemed very with it when I left.
Yeah, she's cool.
See,
yeah,
I left right at the right time.
You left the right. You left. You left.
I didn't know.
Right,
I didn't overstay my welcome.
She's like, good night, Paul.
Anyways, enough Shane's living room talk.
Tessa, how is the new shop is open, the third store? Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Congrats.
How's it going? How are things? Are you guys moved in? Does it still have the new car smell?
Ooh. It does definitely have the new car smell. We're still like kind of slowly adding stuff there just because it takes a lot of time. Like, we still haven't hung up art yet. But it's been open for about 3 weeks now.
Cool.
It is blowing away all expectations. I think we moved into an area where there just isn't a lot to do. So we are the cool thing to do.
Ah,
nice.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we have a next month. We have like a, I believe it's a 96 person tournament for like Magic. Yeah. Yeah, it's going super well. We have Jim Ballant comes to our store all the time now. That's cool.
Very cool. I like it. You set up the tournaments and everything else. You got the, you're set up for gaming.
Oh yeah, we regularly I think have seats for 64, and then yeah, we can stretch up to like 100.
Wow,
that's awesome. I love it.
Any underground panda sales going on in the back room?
Does
like it's a front for like a panda? Like, no,
her shop. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
like
is.
A
I
shop.
So.
If there's any kind of thing going on where you sell pandas, like
I want to
under
know,
the table.
What made you ask that?
I don't know. I just get a vibe where there's something going on other than Magic tournaments.
She gives off a panda vibe. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, like a panda smuggling ring.
It's because I'm cute and cuddly.
That's what it is.
Okay, the panda. Oh, there you go. Panda like.
That's where you got it from.
You have a license to sell pandas.
Watch like 4 years from now, like the. Like
you'd be right.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Yeah. Illegal
exotic animal dealer.
That's right.
Front for collectibles.
In the tri-state area. Yeah. Exotic animal dealer.
That was a
in the tri-state area.
In the tri-state area.
In the tri-state area, the exotic.
That's what I'm saying.
Asian animals.
Earlier this week, we got our first look at the Joker sequel. I'm not sure if you had a chance to check this out already, Tessa, but we're going to take a look at the trailer for Joker Folie à Deux.
Yes, that was
I'm not even French.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the trailer yet? You haven't seen anything about this yet, or have you seen any moving?
I've seen like little clips on Instagram, but I haven't watched the whole trailer.
Okay, beautiful.
Same. I've seen the meme of him like people keep putting it over stuff.
Oh, really?
A lot of memes and screenshots.
Yes. Same.
Oh, I can't wait.
So we're gonna check this trailer out. I think it's coming out in October.
I can't believe Shane.
First week of October.
How about the pandas?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Whoa.
Let's go, boys. It's so time. Wakey, wakey.
Hey, Fleck, you got a joke for us today?
We use music to make us whole, to balance the fractures within ourselves.
It's 1,000 years old.
I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
There's no business like showbiz.
Once there was a way
to get back home.
Let's get out of here.
Should be talking about.
That's the meme I'll see.
I want to see the real you.
Oh.
seen people do change the little smiley face to being like a little like cat emoji and stuff like that a lot. So I've seen a lot of like stupid nice face ones go there.
What'd you think of that trailer?
So I watched A Star Is Born, and Lady Gaga kind of blew my socks off at that. So I feel like while I don't think the Joker needed a sequel whatsoever, I feel like this could actually be really good. I am a little sus that it's a musical, but I'm definitely going to see it. Like I feel like it could be good, but I'm not necessarily like confident, but yeah. I'm excited to see it anyway.
I think I'm on like the flip side of that coin.
Flip flop.
I think I'm not very confident in it, and I think it might be not very good. It looks incredibly well made. Like, it's obviously there's a lot of artistic value there. But I do think that I personally did not. I don't think the first one is a bad movie. I think it's very well made. I think trying to humanize the Joker is a mistake and not the point of that character. So it kind of, it's one of those things where if you've read the book, it like people like my mom loves the book, The Shining, and she hates the movie. Everybody else loves the movie because they do different things. But anyways, so I felt like it was like Taxi Driver, the reboot, the first one. And I don't think I loved that. I can appreciate like the craftsmanship behind it, but not, you know, wasn't my cup of tea. And then this one, like, what are they going to be, celebrities? Are they going to, is he going to be take Robert? So he became Taxi Driver, and now he's going to become the talk show host that Robert De Niro was in the last one.
I mean,
why?
I feel exactly about the first one as you do, actually. We're like, I didn't necessarily love the movie, but I did think it was like very well done. Like, I think he did a beautiful job. Like,
sure,
his performance was
he was incredible,
ridiculous. But
I think all the parts will probably be good. I don't know if it will result in something on the whole that I am personally a fan of.
No. Okay. Yeah.
What about you, Panda?
I'm saying this. I thought first Joker is a standalone thing as well as everybody else, you know, did. And they would like it to be that. That's why I didn't put too much stock into humanizing him or anything like that. I think they had free reign to do whatever they wanted to creatively, just because I thought it was going to be a standalone movie. Mm-hmm. Since there is going to be a second one, I don't know what they're going to do with the music. Maybe these are things just going on in his head. You know, maybe these are scenes where he's just thinking maybe he's not going to be...
like the Harley scene from The Suicide Squad, kind of where she's dancing around.
Yeah,
like a bunch of
maybe it's that, just over and over again, just in his head, because he thought of a lot of different things in the first Joker that were not real. You know what I mean? So I'm assuming, hoping that... It's not just a full-out musical where they just start singing as soon as dialogue starts going on, but I pray that he'll start thinking of something, or something will take his mind towards them singing together or something like that, because Lady Gaga is great. She's a great singer. I don't know. So is that him singing in this trailer?
It might be. I don't know.
I'm not sure if that's him singing.
I know
he played Johnny Cash in the trailer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He can sing.
He can sing. Okay,
not that Johnny Cash can sing, but...
I know he actually sang.
Oh, easy.
I know. He sang more in key than Johnny Cash did. And to be honest, in real life, Johnny Cash sang kind of off key, but he sang in his own style.
You don't say.
I'm just saying. I probably know though. The Slam Cash.
He talks. No, he's great. He's iconic. I love.
He just can't sing worth a squat.
Most. I'm not even gonna.
No, I'm just saying. But let's see what happens. I want to. I'm definitely interested in seeing it, just because I do like the first Joker movie. I thought it was good. I just thought it was going to be standalone. Them making a sequel kind of shocks the crap out of me. It shocked me once I first heard they were making a sequel. I'm just like, really?
I think it felt weird for this choice, maybe a little bit, when they started to leak out details and they're like, oh well, Lady Gaga's attached to the sequel, and then they start saying, oh, Lady Gaga's gonna be Harley Quinn, and then they're like, and it's a musical.
That's where they lost
and, and then they're like, oh, and there's gonna be like 14 or 15 jukebox type songs mixed into the movie, and that there's going to be, Ryan had mentioned it there in the chat. What, shout out to Fire Guy Ryan and Austin as well. He's in there. Ryan had mentioned that we could be watching a lot of hallucinations in this trailer, and that what we're actually seeing of them, you know, the real versions of them in Arkham or whatever, because they are going to be taking place in Arkham.
Yeah. That's the vibe I got when you saw them like dancing all kind of glammed up, and then it flashed to them like turning and dancing in like.
And there's like a wedding scene. He's in the suit and whatever, like she's walking. I mean, there's a lot of hallucination probably in there.
I think maybe the parts of this trailer that, as far as like story elements went, that confused me, like them dancing on the thing, whatever, them going down the steps of that courthouse or whatever and dancing and everyone's taking pictures. I'm like, where is this? What is going on here?
You see, there's a scene there, Paul, when he's running down the street and he's being chased by, looks like,
by himself. Yeah. So
real quick, I just noticed that. Yeah. Like I said, oh, so he's chasing himself.
I used to be a little more like Ryan said, I hate musicals, but I'm excited for this. I really have never been a fan of musicals until I watched Tick, Tick, Boom, which is phenomenal. And then it took me forever to watch
Garfield,
it.
Right?
Yeah, Garfield.
Not the cat.
Yes, that is Garfield, not the cat.
Not the cat.
But La La Land is one of the best movies I've ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah,
and that's a musical. And that's kind of brought me around a little bit on musicals.
Grease 2.
So if this came... Grease 2. If this came out 2 years ago, I would be 100% against it. But now that I've come around on musicals a little bit, I think maybe they could do something.
What if you like weirder movies? Paul likes weirder movies. Sure. Like Poor Things is a weird movie.
But
weird
likes, movie. Poor Things is amazing, though.
I know. I love it. Frank hated it, but
I didn't care for it. But he likes a lot of a lot of different stuff. A lot of different wide range of things. Barbie was a musical, technically. Yes, that's true, Ryan.
It sure was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far. There is musical numbers.
Hey, man. He's just Ken.
Anywhere else, I'd be a 10.
Yeah.
I do think that this movie is gonna like take away something important from Harley, though, because like, if she's an inmate, that takes away everything that's important about her. She's supposed to, like, maybe she's crazy, maybe she makes bad decisions and she's silly or whatever, but she's smart. Like, she works really hard to do what she's doing. She's very intelligent. Like, she is a doctor, and if she's just like a fellow crazy inmate, I feel like that kind of takes away the root of how she is herself. I don't know.
Austin mentions that in the chat too, saying like, you're kind of like changing her role within this movie. You're turning her to just an inmate that she meets. She's meeting Arthur in jail or prison, you know, whatever. It's like kind of weird.
Are we holding our holding everything a little too close to the chest, maybe, though?
About what?
Maybe.
I don't know about like it being, we need it to be exact, because if it's good but it changes some things, is that okay with you? I guess.
Absolutely. I just don't want you. So Harley is innately like a very like sexy lady character, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that she gives herself anonymity, and that makes sense. Like, she is, she's doing everything very intelligently. Like, I really like that about her. Like, if they just turn her into like, oh yeah, she's just crazy and she's hot and she likes the Joker, then I feel like that takes away the point of, why not just have her be anyone else? I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that. Well, she is visiting him. Isn't she in that scene where she put, right, draws the smiley face? Hopefully she's visiting him.
We
in
think,
prison.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe she starts as the what we know and love. And then that scene where she's
maybe
like,
she gets to prison or something. I don't know.
I think that, go back to what Tessa had said originally a few minutes ago about whether or not this movie needed a sequel. I don't know if it did need a sequel. I liked the original movie. I didn't really walk out of seeing the original film thinking, man, I want to watch another one.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? It made $1 billion.
That's right. It's one of the few DC films to make $1 billion. Yeah.
They're not going to not make another one, just like Aquaman.
Agreed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Agreed. That's why I was saying Tessa, Frank, and Paul, even Kwan.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
And it, dare I say Kwan as well. When the first Joker came out, and Frank, you and I were talking about it, it's like, why doesn't DC just make these one-offs? You know, like, why do they need to make these sequels, a bunch of sequels, when they can make just a good one-off and be done with it? But
they want the built-in audience.
I know they want
the connectivity.
Horrible.
And I think that's why they may be rethinking the Batman, trying to connect it in some way to other stuff. So
yeah, they're waiting to see, I think.
They've got the built-in audience.
Everything pans
more
out.
Money,
Well, and I think maybe that's what bothered me about the first one, was that it felt like a movie that was written not as a Joker movie, just a completely different movie.
They made him.
A completely different arc. And they said, what if we made the character in this movie the Joker to try to sell it? which is something that does happen in Hollywood. True. There'll be a spec script and they'll be like, oh, this is a crime heist thing. Oh, what if it was a James Bond crime heist or an Ocean's 11 or 12 or 13 crime heist? Mm-hmm. And they adapt it into an IP from an original thing to get both the best of both worlds. So yeah. It feels like that's kind of what happened with this. I don't necessarily think it is. I'm sure like this was very pointedly supposed to be a Joker thing.
True.
But yeah, I think that's maybe the thing I didn't like really like about it so much was that, yes, it was a good movie. No,
did you have
it was not the character I know.
Tessa, going into seeing the Joker when you first saw it, did you have high expectations, low expectations? Were you really excited to see it? Were you like, I got to go watch it because I like comic books? You know, whatever.
No,
like,
I got
what
you.
Was what was your expectation level going into this movie originally?
It was exactly what I thought it was going to be to a T, honestly. It very much like slightly pretentious, like film bro movie.
Sure.
Actually, what Paul was saying, where it felt like it could have just been another movie and then they like flesh it out with a Joker title. I do definitely get that vibe from the movie.
Mm. Yeah.
I felt bad because I watched the movie with my dad, and my dad doesn't really like a lot of comic things, but he likes Batman and he likes like Batman 66 and he watches like all the Batman movies, loves the Christian Bale ones. So I think I was more so sad that like I went to go see with my dad and he like hated the movie because he was like, that's not the Joker.
Dad's a comic book Batman purist, I guess.
Who played Joker in the Batman television show?
Omar Sharif?
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero.
He painted over his mustache.
He painted over his mustache.
Because he didn't want to
shave the mustache.
Honestly, as a man with a mustache, I get it.
Sure.
I wouldn't want to shave
Who could forget the Batusi?
He also like loved being a part of that show so much that whenever like, because it was very much like Monster of the Week kind of show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever they like needed someone and they didn't have someone, he was like, here's a bunch of scripts. Like, I'll just call me whenever you need me for like a random fill-in. I got it. I won't shave off the mustache for you, but I'll make that.
I'll put the grease paint over
it. Right. For sure.
That's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
I think the movie is probably going to me, it's one of the more polarizing films for the whole year. The people aren't really sure what to think
or
what their expectation is because everybody's very mixed on the original film.
Yeah.
And then you're making a movie that people are already mixed on very different.
I think.
Or you're trying to make it different, I'm saying.
Yeah. I think the average moviegoer who hasn't ever read a comic book probably is a really big fan of the first one, obviously, probably with some slight differences or some people who don't. But I think what may have turned some average moviegoers off to it is making it a musical. Because someone who doesn't read comics, who liked that first one, was like, oh, I want more of that. And then you tell them it's a musical. They're probably like, why?
That's the main complaint I've seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that it can't be good, but just why? And isn't it so weird? Kind of side note. Isn't it so weird that the guy who's making these movies is the guy who made all the Hangover movies?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's a really good point.
Like what?
Yeah.
If you'd have told me in 20,
he wanted Alan in this,
right? No. If you'd have told me that the guy who made Hangover was going to make a Joker series,
that's a good point.
10 years later, I wouldn't have believed you. It doesn't make any sense.
Standing by.
I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Galifianakis was like in this movie. Like I could see him just showing up.
There's like an alternate universe where he got cast as the Joker in this movie.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, really? There's a...
Yeah, yes. Oh, and there's definitely an alternate universe where
I just, I was like, really, Paul?
Yeah.
No, you idiot.
Paul, you should have gaslit him.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, Zach was cast.
Him and Phoenix
and the day before filming started,
how dare you,
Zach Galifianakis had a scheduling conflict with Between the Bushes.
It was
Hangover 6, actually. Between Two Ferns, he had to record the Between Two Ferns, so he wasn't able to to play the Joker come the start of the shoot, and so they went, I guess we'll get Joaquin Phoenix.
I just believe all of it. I go, wow.
Oh, Lord.
Can't wait to tell my family. You know what Tessa and Paul told me on the show?
Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
The Joker.
Actually supposed to be the Joker?
I was just thinking about it though.
And then him doing musical numbers.
Yeah,
that would be phenomenal.
Oh, that'd be great, actually.
See, I really like not all musicals in general, but like I'm not afraid of a musical. I'll have a good time. But like telling me there's gonna be like specifically that kind of Joker movie, a Joker musical.
Yeah.
If you tell me there's a Joker musical, if it's anything other than like an episode of an animated series, I'm probably not into it.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. The movie where dude ran around shooting people in the face last movie, that's going to be a musical.
He's going to be singing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, sure.
Like one scene, sure. Like I could totally see like one number, like, you know, just here's a hallucination, here's one number. And like, I could see that being great. But
yeah.
Like 15?
Is that what you, there's 15 numbers on that?
That's what
they're
saying.
Supposed to be 15 songs featured in the movie. Yeah, Ryan
that's
mentioned.
A lot, just in general, for any movie.
I know, for a musical, it's a lot.
The Galifianakis played the Joker in Lego Batman, that's right. And the director
because he couldn't make it for the Joker. And so they were like, you'll do the Lego one.
Perfect.
Man, you guys are jerks.
The director of Anchorman made Succession. That's a good point, Ryan.
What?
Hey, everybody go watch Succession.
Yes. Whoever said that, yes.
Everybody go watch Succession.
Well, here's another one for you. You know, movie 43 and those really terrible spoof movies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know who directed those? The guy who made the Chernobyl miniseries on HBO. That show is phenomenal.
Yeah,
and he made
great.
The terrible epic movie. He made epic movie and then he made Chernobyl.
How is this possible? How do you just flip the switch? Well, I guess he's better at making like heavy dramas.
Just a moment, Tessa. I just want to take a minute to. We've just been joined at the table by Brother Marcus. He's here.
Great glasses.
Thank you.
Hold on, Marcus, we thank you for being here. Thank you for being a friend. You're fantastic.
Yes.
Your heart is true. You're a pal.
And a confidant.
Oh my gosh, is this episode turning into a musical?
Who would have guessed it?
And if you do a party.
Did you get a chance to see the Joker trailer? Did you already see it?
No, I didn't.
Well, we just watched it, so sorry.
No, I'm okay. I'm totally okay.
It didn't look terrible.
I didn't see the first movie either.
I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about,
Do you think that the movie do you think the Joker movie and then this movie potentially is received differently because there is no Batman? That people can't identify a Batman role, that we're making Joker Arthur Fleck, we're making him an anti-hero?
Well,
do you think that's part of the issue with people?
I think it's something.
It's something?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because...
Tell us why. Question like that.
I think it's definitely something for sure.
I think it's something for sure. I'll tell you why. Because every time Joker is in a Batman movie, the first thing everybody wants to see is Joker. Like, what is he gonna do? What is he gonna look like? What is he gonna be like? So in this movie in this movie specifically, we were just so enamored with Joaquin Phoenix being Joker. So we are attached to everything that this character does. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not missing Batman. I don't think people are missing Batman as much.
Sure. Well,
in this case.
What? I think it's almost like DC's equivalent of doing what Sony did with Venom.
Venom, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, just kind of like distancing. Yeah. You're distancing key this players away and trying to make this one character stand alone. And it can work. If it's done correctly, but I honestly don't think it can work well unless you do pay some sort of head nod to those other characters.
Well,
at least in context.
Interesting, to a certain degree.
For specifically those two characters, it's really weird to have specifically beginning stories without their counterparts.
Right.
Because they both, in the beginning, exist usually as a foil to that. Like, especially Venom is just like, all he wants to do is like mess up Peter Parker, and that's it.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
I do think the Joker is definitely better than those Venom movies, but I 100% agree that it is exactly the same concept. And I mean, you weren't here yet, but I was saying that it feels like a movie that was written as one thing, and then they said, this could be a Joker movie. And one of the things that kind of makes me think that is the scene towards the end of the Joker where it's like, it's Bruce Wayne at a fence. I'm like, this is literally only in this movie. Because it's a Joker movie. I might be misremembering the scene slightly. He's like trying to give Bruce something, like little baby Bruce
something.
He's
talking to him, whatever.
Which, like, if the Joker's already 40 years old and Bruce is 12.
He's three.
Like, what?
He's three.
But I don't know. Joker's immortal in some stories, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And that's usually kind of DC's problem, or what a lot of people have with concerns as far as DC's continuities, because at some point they have to reset it, because pretty soon all the supporting characters, whether it be other characters within the Bat family or villains, they're going to grow up and get older, and then pretty soon they're going to be older than Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Well, not maybe not Wonder Woman, but at least Superman and Batman, and then they have to reset it so, you know, Damian doesn't become older than his, you know, father.
right.
You know what I mean? They can't all, you know, Superman and Batman can't be in there.
They just have Bendis write a story, and then they go off to a different planet. Exactly. And they do whatever, and they come back, and it's fine.
Because we don't really know, like, their age range. I mean, they're not, like, high school rivals.
Yeah. Bendis can go ahead and not write another major DC comic book. I'd be okay with that. He can stick to Marvel or Dark Horse or whatever.
He's
doing a lot.
I was not happy with him aging up Damian. I thought the Super Sons, like, Damian? Age, you know.
You mean John?
Oh, John. Sorry. Yeah. John Kent. Yeah.
Actually,
he aged them both, I think, actually, because they were both.
He aged John a decade. He aged Damian like a normal amount of time.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay, so he really screwed that up then.
Well, I mean, I like what came of the John thing. I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you a little story.
I like Super Sons.
Super Sons is phenomenal.
That should have lasted a little longer.
I think they kind of tried to replace the Super Sons and just be like, yeah, no, look, now he's friends with Dick Grayson. So it's the same. It doesn't matter now.
That dynamic doesn't work. But I do kind of like the dynamic between Dick and John in that he's kind of like, Dick is a different kind of, is a different kind of person he can go to, because he has a different kind of adult outlook on filling somebody's shoes. Like, there's some scenes in the, when Taylor was writing both Nightwing and Superman, that he came to Nightwing and he was like, I can't ever be Superman. Like, I don't know. And he's like, you need to be you. Mm-hmm. Just like, I thought I needed to be Bruce for a long time.
No Diddy.
It's there so we don't have to say it, right?
No puff.
I'm
sorry.
I lost my... Oh, but he's like, just be you. You're never going to be him, but he's never going to be you. Just be you. So I do like that dynamic between him
Nightwing. And like, even the way they like supported it by showing back to when John was a kid. I think this was in like some like flashback issue of the Tom Taylor Nightwing run. But they were showing that in the cave or whatever, John ran away and Dick and Batman were going to go find him. And he immediately like shoots his laser beams or whatever at Batman because he's scared. And Dick's like, you idiot. Like, you're a giant bat approaching him in a cave. Like, no wonder he's scared. And then he like goes and talks to him, and it's really cute and wonderful. And so it shows off that like big brother mentality rather than like best friend troublemaker. Like,
And you know what I would suggest for people who want the dynamic between a young John and a young Damian still? The Trinity backups that Tom King has been writing on Wonder Woman,
those are phenomenal.
Like, they have literally brought a tear to my eye like every other one I've read, where they're just, she's like, oh, I don't want you to. Like, the one where it's like the competition and they're fighting on Themyscira, and Damian and John are like, whatever, we give up, you win. And they're like, she's like, but you're my older brothers. Like, if you give up, then, and it like brings a tear to my eye. It's like, it's so well written. It's so good.
It'll probably be collected, kind of like what they did with Superman.
Well, they did
up
collect
the
first three in called the Trinity Special or something like that.
A thick issue.
Yeah. But I think he's going to continue writing it. But that's phenomenal. Good. So you can get the best of both worlds. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Best of both worlds.
Joker. And how you're going to get the soundtrack.
Go ahead and copy.
I don't know about that.
Who's going to get the soundtrack?
Oh, to Joker?
To Joker, yeah.
Probably my wife will probably get the soundtrack. She loves Lady Gaga. It's one of her favorites.
Yeah.
And she just likes weird soundtracks, and she likes Grease. And she likes Rocky.
Dope,
she likes Rocky Horror
Grease
Picture
is
Show.
The word.
Yeah, Grease is the word.
Yeah, that you heard.
It's got. I love the very specific
it's got mood. It's got feeling.
On your wife.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's gonna love it too. You told everybody I like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Actually, that's kind of cool.
She got taste, you know. That's fun.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, time.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
I was gonna.
I think what's his name just passed away too. Didn't what's his name just passed away? Passed away the star of Rocky Horror.
OJ Simpson.
Oh.
What's his name? The main character.
Yeah.
Because he was Frank like Kirk. Declining little by little.
Yeah, but he died. Then, probably.
I think he died last year. Maybe.
Who?
I could
Tim
be
Daly?
OJ Simpson.
Yeah, Tim Daly.
He died?
I think he died. Yeah.
Oh.
Let's not Google it and just Daly. Everyone say else. Definitively right now without Googling it. Did he die?
Yes.
Okay. All right. He died.
He did die.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you, okay.
I know he was like steadily.
Good question.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I didn't know about OJ Simpson until one of the customers at work told me, and I was like, "Oh wow,
yeah."
Oh yeah, yeah. Anyway. By the way, OJ died. Everybody.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was like, wow. Okay.
Just, like, in case nobody knew.
By the way.
By the way.
Yeah. Orenthal James.
Orenthal James. All right. Listen.
Do you guys think they made this a musical because Lady Gaga signed on?
Maybe.
I'm sure that helped.
I could see that.
I'm sure it helped.
Do you think we're going to do you think it was we're going to do the second one as a musical? Let's get Lady Gaga, or Lady Gaga came to them
and said, Melissa McCarthy as Harley Quinn, she probably wouldn't have been a musical.
That would have been your favorite movie of the year.
I would have loved it.
But do you think Lady Gaga came to the producers and said, "I would love to be a part of this. Can we make it a musical?"
Hmm. Yeah, she was in talks with it really early, right? Like, I think I remember hearing like Joker 2 and then like Lady Gaga part of it in like basically the same breath.
Did the first Joker do that well? That
made they $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So it did all right.
Yeah.
Only a billion.
Yeah. Right.
More money than I can even fathom.
Before we go any further with this Joker talk, even though our Joker talk is done. I think it's done anyway, because I'm ending it right now. Because we sorry, Tessa. I'm just saying that it's time for Cabordra.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no one was here for the mirror, mirror, mirror.
No, that was okay. that was better without it.
I want to clarify something really quick. We clarify said it. Tim Daly. Tim Daly did the voice of Superman in the animated series,
and he was, and on,
he was on Wings. He is very much alive.
We mean
Tim Curry, who played the lead in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Dr. Frankfurter in
is
Rocky Horror
also
Picture
alive.
Show.
Also alive.
Oh, he is alive.
Tim Curry's definitely alive. He went to like a con in October.
He's alive.
Pennywise,
sure?
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he had a stroke, though. He had a stroke.
He did.
Yeah, he had a stroke. Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
it might have been some...
Anyways, got any more information on the medical history of Pennywise the Clown, Tim Curry?
Now that we got that straight.
Copper drop.
It's hyper... Copper drop! No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Quan. All right, so we got comic books. We're going to judge them. We're going to rate them. Well, I'm going to pick the best one out of all you jabronis who brought comics, who have comics in front of you.
Thank you.
Tessa is going first because she is our guest. And she is way nicer than the rest of you clowns.
And she's dressed like Poison Ivy, it looks
and she's
like.
She's dressed like Poison Ivy.
Thank you.
And her hair looks fantastic.
Yeah, here we go. We got a beautiful Tulote.
Hey there. All right.
Hey.
All right,
well, while Shane is talking me up, I can, try to sweeten it up. I would love to see a live show that's just Shane. I feel like there would be so much. Like,
guys, let's go.
Soundboard, though. I want him to be like.
We'll do a one shot. We'll have to do a one shot.
A one shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
a Shane special.
That should have been your April Fool's show. You should have just Shane for an hour.
Maybe for the holidays, we'll just have him sit in here for an hour and a half,
like a telethon.
Two cases of Truly, some Jack.
Oh my God, I watched that so.
Coke Zero.
With the jacket.
And we'll
right.
just give him talking points.
Yeah,
and we'll sit over there.
I'll have a tux with the ruffles. I'll have a microphone for no reason.
Maker's Mark.
We're just
handheld.
We're going to write out a list of actors, celebrities, and we're going to hold them up, and you're going to say definitively whether they're dead or not. With no Googling allowed. And then you're going to pontificate upon how they may have died.
Oh, man.
Half of that and then half redheads. Chick redheads, whether they're...
Boom.
I want to be on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm completely down for this now.
Yeah, we can have people just call in all that show and you could just be talking to straight.
That could be a mistake.
Oh God,
I'm loving this idea. Oh,
it sounds good.
For the free idea,
I like. I love it.
Thanks, Tessa.
A little dangerous. Yeah, thank you, Tessa.
Cobble drop, Tessa.
Me off.
It sounds edgy, like an edgy show plan.
This is the greatest show ever. Love it. Me, more me, everybody. All right, Tessa, go. Please go. Or Frank's going to kill us all. Please go.
Yeah, anyway, now that I've tried to kiss up so that I can get off here.
You are now in the lead. Yeah. Go
ahead. Let me know if I talk about too many, because I got a big stack, but they're mostly from the same series. So, like, it's actually okay. Not that much.
Oh, all right.
All right, hit it.
So I have this book that I want to shout out because I feel like no one grabbed. This is like a very indie book from Silver Sprocket. It's on this like beautiful toned paper. It's done amazingly. Like this is super stunning. It's a deep dive into like someone's personal interactions with like bipolar and other mental disorders. But the way they just did it was so stunning. Like it's got this like spot gloss that's done so well. Like it's just a really beautifully made book. And also like it really has a personal level of, here's what it's like to be in someone's brain that has this going on.
Yeah, that's
really
cool.
So like informative and terrifying and sad, and I really loved it.
I like how it looks like it's printed on that aged paper, that type of style.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah, I love that.
That's
yeah.
How you get me.
Yeah, rest in peace, beautiful. Ed Pisker. He was the first one I saw who would use that in the grand design stuff and the hip-hop family tree. So
nice.
Yeah, rest in peace for that. Go ahead.
You've now helped her. She's now in the lead.
And
forcefully
rightfully
in the lead.
Hey, rightfully
you've helped
so.
Her. All right, go ahead.
Rightfully so.
What else you got?
Unbelievable.
I got Beyond Real. Ryan and I just read these the other day. This was really good. So it starts off very sweetly with like a couple, and one of those like very perfect couple moments that are often depicted in media, you know, like just everything's going well. But then right after that, they show a very like harrowing moment that's not necessarily bad, but just very real of just, I don't want to talk about this right now. You're annoying me. Be quiet. Stop. And then one of them gets hit by a car. Well, I guess they both do, but one of them doesn't do so well.
Okay.
And so it's kind of dealing with this, it's called Beyond Real because then it's in this kind of future where it might be a simulation.
The
Matrix.
Yeah, okay. It's very interesting. So it starts off on very much like an emotional level, and then it goes into very like timey-wimey, techie, weird stuff. But it's very good. I'm very into it.
Oh.
And then my personal drug right now is The One Hand and the Six Fingers.
I saw that in the store. Sweet.
Yeah, you like half trade them together. So it's Ram V on The One Hand and Dan Waters, who I adore, on the Six Fingers. And the same colorist across both, so that really helps to like unify them. But they do have different artists. But it's like The One Hand one, and then the Six Fingers one, and then The One Hand two, and then etc. So if you're only like okay with the first issue, definitely read the next one because that's the one that sold me and made me obsessed. It's delving into this like crime noir kind of story, and The One Hand is from the detective's point of view, who like this murderer he put away a long time ago, maybe he has a copycat, maybe he's just actually back again, so he's diving back on the case right as he was going to retire. And then the Six Fingers is from supposedly the other person's point of view, who is possibly committing these murders and he doesn't really know it. But it's so much better than I could explain. It's very like freaky and weird, and I'm so into it. I love it.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. And then this whole stack is literally just the Energon universe.
Oh, hey. I think that
we just converted Paul
I
over
just
to the Energon universe.
All of that on my pull box, and I'm catching.
Yeah,
it.
That's awesome. That goes without saying. Every title is amazing.
But Ryan and I have been reading a lot of them, and so it's so much better than it should be.
So much better than it should be.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. I was like, Transformers.
Yeah, kind of like comic junk food until you start reading it and you're like, wow. This
but
is
I read the first
yeah.
trade of Void Rivals and I was like, holy smokes, this is phenomenal.
I'm obsessed with Void Rivals. I love those too.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I was gonna like it, honestly, because I was like, how is this related? How are they gonna link this with G.I. Joe and Transformers? I was like, you know, but it's working. It's working.
Nice.
Yeah, I can see some stuff coming together for sure.
Yeah, dude, you got like Daniel Warren Johnson on Transformers, and that's sick, and Mike Spicer too, and Joshua Williamson
and now
Cobra Commander.
Corona.
The design on that book is so good. Like, I can't believe that I love this stuff because I don't care about this stuff. Like, Transformers is fine. I have nothing against it. I have no interest in G.I. Joe. Like,
you mean you don't love the Michael Bay Transformers movies?
You know, I actually had a great time watching them in theaters. They were really fun. They were popcorn flicks. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. But that's pretty much what I know about Transformers.
Yeah. Yeah. As most. Yeah.
I watched boy cartoons as a kid, so I don't know anything about this stuff.
Yeah. Frank is hurt because he loves everything Transformers.
Frank is hurt. She just said
good night. I love getting in the Transformers collections we get in. We get in like the toys, and sometimes we get in the old ones that are like metal. Those are so cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. This is all fantastic choices, of course. As we all knew, you would pick fantastic stuff.
But stop, you're gonna make me blush.
She's not picking a winner, Shane. What are you doing here?
I'm just saying they're fantastic. Everything she brought up is fantastic. That's all I'm saying. Relax. Paul is next. Yes. Paul, go ahead. Let's see what you got. So, at least I'm not Sonny. Sonny will poo-poo everything you brought, no matter what's going on.
That's true. So Shane's not going to like this. I didn't have a chance to go home today after work, so I don't have any of my books on me.
Whoa.
But the one... Yes, Shane is giving me a dirty look immediately. People have to make money sometimes, Shane. It's okay. And then I came on Quan Show. I know that's probably going to make you feel... But so the one I wanted to talk about today, because most of my poll this week was stuff I've talked about before. And I wanted to talk about, because none of us had, and it came out a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago now, the finale of Batman City of Madness. Who would have guessed it? I like reading Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
So it's Christian Ward, mm-hmm. and I can't remember the gentleman's name. He does the lettering on Beneath Trees Where Nobody Sees as well. It's those two are the team.
Tim Curry?
It's like Ellen Howe Humane or something like that.
Tim Daly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that was, yeah, sure.
Tim Allen?
I'm losing my train of thought. But it was a three-issue kind of magazine size or whatever you call those prints on Black Label. And it kind of came out of nowhere for me. Probably other people were hyped about it for a long time, but I was very excited for Gargoyle of Gotham, which still has been very good. I think it's been delayed a little while because the next issue hasn't come out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, did I miss one?
No, it's just been delayed. Just like delayed, the last days of Superman with Brian Hitch and Mark Waid. But I thoroughly enjoyed this. I think Christian Ward's art is striking and very different from, I wish I had it here. It's just very different from the vast majority of not only Batman comics, but just comics in general. It's kind of like really fluid and abstract. It visually doesn't look similar to Arkham Asylum, a madhouse on Mad Earth, but in like practice, like it's the same kind of idea of this surreal, almost strange world that they exist in.
Is it Otsmane? Is the letter?
Yes, Otsmane. Thank you. But and shout out Ryan. He said it in the chat as well.
Oh, Ryan.
But it's basically there's this to for people who have seen Stranger Things. It's like a below or the upside down of Gotham, there's flip versions of everyone or every villain and every Batman.
Okay.
From the, but.
I'm interested. Go on. Yes. I'm interested.
And basically, it's kind of spawned and connected to the... Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's it right there. Has
phenomenal.
It.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tessa.
Tessa, coming in clutch. Coming in clutch.
And
I'm here to help Christian Ward, man. His art is so...
Okay.
So oh, not so much
for not Paul, but Christian Ward.
Oh, but by proxy, you're helping me. Thank you. Yeah. but proximity. You get... you get this kind of flipped underside of Gotham where he has to team up with the Court of Owls, Batman does, to go into this other side of Gotham to save this boy who's been kidnapped by the Batman there. You find out eventually who this Batman from the upside down Gotham is, which they call it something different, but I'm going to keep calling it the upside down. And I think
it works.
Who the this Batman is implied to possibly become the Joker. Once he makes it out of this upside down version of Gotham, and it's like this, who's the dude who makes Cthulhu? Why can't I think of that guy?
H.P. Lovecraft.
Thank you. It's like this Lovecraftian kind of version of Gotham and version of Joker who comes to be born of it. And I don't know if I would love if that was the canon origin of Joker, but as like an Elseworld version of Joker, it was a really cool concept. This person who goes into this world gets changed and made entirely different from everybody else in every way, and then comes back to Gotham. That would explain the Joker in like every single way. And who he is, I can't stress enough, is really interesting, but I'm not going to say it. I want people to read it. So oh, that's what cool. that's what I'm for today.
Gosh. Ugh. Why does he have to do that?
I thought you weren't, Sonny. I thought you didn't.
No, like, I'm just saying. Like, I was prepared to hate everything you just said, and I can't because that sounds cool as all get out.
It's so cool, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a Black Label series, right?
Cool. Yes, it's Black Label. Yeah.
Black Label, okay.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. It's going to be quality. It seems like everything Black Label does is quality. I have not been disappointed at that imprint.
Christian Ward does is amazing, and he writes it too. He's not just the artist.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Is he doing a cover for our friend Philip Kenny Johnson for Crocodile
Black?
Look at just how dope it is. Yeah, it's a very Jeez. The colors, just Strong everything about it.
Vivid lettering.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Everything. Thank you, Tessa, for making Shane have to like my stuff.
now I'm thinking.
It's you only are? Fair. I kissed up, so like
that's true.
That is true.
You hedged heavily. She literally told you the show would be better if it was just you.
Thank you. I can't forget that either. I mean, that is a strong point that she made. I mean,
why did I bring that back up? Continue.
Yeah, her comics are great as well, but that is a strong point that the show would be better if it was just me. All right, Marcus.
Into the Shane comics. No.
All right, Marcus, next. Marcus, it's
into the shame.
All right, hit it.
All right, so I took a page from our friend Barney from Shimpson Comics. Shout out to him.
Oh, I love you, Barney.
I took a page from his book and decided to do a little bit of a kind of a retro review because you know, during the last con that we went to, it was Silver State Events, formerly
Silver
known
State
as
Expo.
Yeah.
It was Unicon.
Formerly Unicon, a show that happens out here in Las Vegas. I was picking up some Miracle Man stuff that he found for me, and I appreciate that, Barney. Appreciate that. Going through his trades, I found Ghost Rider Road to Damnation, which is a Garth Ennis and Clayton Crane trade paperback. Now, prior to this, I didn't know that book actually existed because it's been so out of print that I didn't even know until later on that existed after reading Ghost Rider Trail of Tears, which is a prequel to that. And it's basically sets up I believe that's a 6-issue arc. This is a 6-issue arc, and it's a prequel set in Trail of Tears is a prequel set in the Civil War era. We're just kind of over it. We have a Confederate soldier who ends up happening he ends up being gravely injured and he's nursed back to health. Phenomenal art.
Freaking Nazgul.
This is insane.
Clayton Crane is a monster. And I didn't realize he actually did like whole books. I just know him when I got into comics. I just knew him for his Venom Island cover, issue 21 of Venom by Donny Cates, where he did the cover. But he did a cover and the internals. And this story basically sets up what the Ghost Rider probably started out as, like kind of like an origin where you have a Confederate soldier who's injured. He's saved by an emancipated slave who's a landowner owner, and the landowner, a former slave, nurses him back to health, and he just sticks around because he lost all his family. The Confederate soldier lost all his family, so he becomes tight with this black family, and you know, some of the usual sort of things end up happening. The former slave, he gets, you know, he and his family get slaughtered. These guys come in, take his land, and so that, you know, that guy, that Confederate soldier, ends up setting out to try to, you know, after he leaves, this all kind of transpires after the Confederate soldier leaves and goes west to try to establish a new life for himself. And he comes back to visit him and everything is gone. And then some Southern squatters are on in the former land. And he's like, what's going on? So it just leads into this harrowing tale of just, you know, vengeance and what I think is probably setting up like an Elseworlds sort of spin to it, or a pre Johnny Blaze sort of Ghost Rider, you know, because
those
it's kind of
cool,
because
yeah.
it's kind of rooted in sort of some African kind of like religion, and it's done very well, and the art is phenomenal. Nice. Garth Ennis and Clayton Crane, and so the Road to Damnation kind of just continues yeah, with
Clayton
its own
Crane's
separate.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it just continues on with.
this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, with just it's a totally different arc, but it kind of builds. You know, it just kind of continues with the same momentum, even though it has different characters at play in the Road to Damnation series. And to find it, it was great. I was just like, man, I don't think I ever would find this.
It's phenomenal. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. And then my second one is this one was kind of. I stumbled upon it at Alternate Reality. Shout out to Ralph at Alternate Reality Comics.
Love you, Ralph.
Yes, local comic book store. He and I got along, you know, hit it off right away because we're both big Alan Moore fans. And so this is Neonomicon. Yeah, Neonomicon. So this is a trade paperback. This is collecting the two-issue kind of separate thin graphic novel, which served as a prequel to it, of The Courtyard. And Neonomicon, which is the 4-issue series follow-up to it. And it's basically H.P. Lovecraft meets Silence of the Lambs.
Don't flip through that. There's like a lot of nudity in there.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was going to show off some.
Oh, yeah.
Also a lot of nudity.
Can I see that?
There's some, my word.
There's some, look.
I mean, it's not the kind of nudity I think you're going to be excited about.
Yeah, it's pretty, and there's some gruesome scenes in there as well, too.
What the?
But, but essentially what you have is, the prequel, the Courtyard prequel sets up, what you have is you have a FBI agent who's deep cover in this major city, which I guess for all intents and purposes is like New York. And he's trying to figure out what's going on. There's like this drug sort of thing happening, and he's trying to figure out who the source is and what's going on with it. And it's turning everyone into this, you know, there's a lot of supernatural elements involved as well. And it's turning everyone into, you know, these kind of people who just mumble gibberish, and you can get some words out, like Cthulhu is actually mentioned in it and so forth. And so
very cool.
It sets up where basically you have the FBI agent. He's perfectly sane, but he's super racist, and he's super just like over the top in that regard. And then it ends, that 2-issue series kind of ends with him, you know, with blood all over him. And he doesn't know, you know, and prior to that, all you see are all these like weird, like fever dream imagery scenes. And then you see him with blood, and that's how it ends. And so you're like, what the heck? He must have killed someone. And then it goes into that 4-issue series. And you get into some really like
very
trippy
cool.
stuff. Right. So it's pretty cool.
Alan Moore's kind of the best.
Yeah. We've got a caller, I think, if the caller's still there. Caller, are you there?
I am still here. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Ryan.
I was just wondering I don't know who Ryan is. I was just wondering if that guy on the panel with the curly hair, is he single?
For you, yes.
What the heck? Oh, oh my goodness.
Oh, man.
Wait, does that mean I get Paul's lady then?
Hi, guys.
What?
No, this isn't Ryan, Tessa. Sorry.
Oh, no. Hypothetical. Yeah, somebody.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's the response this unknown caller expected.
It's a little switcheroo.
This unknown mystery caller.
Right. Yep.
Guy with the curly hair. He could have been talking about Shane.
Just wanted to say hi.
I don't have any curly
hair. Hey, bro. We love you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, man.
What are you doing?
Get back to the show. I want to see who wins.
No!
Okay. I have a feeling it's going to be Tessa.
No, maybe not, but probably
you're
yes.
the winner. Someone called and asked if you were single. No one's called and asked if I
was. That's happened like true. 3 times, and I'm baffled.
Baffled.
But I will say that this is one of those, just as a final note for Neonomicon, if you're interested, Ralph at Alternate Reality keeps it in stock. So Jesus. If he doesn't, and he if they don't have it, they will order it for you. They keep a nice little Alan Moore.
Mark, go look up corner. Go look up Providence too. That's like a sequel or a prequel or something. It's another series by the same guys.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right, I'll tell you later. I'll hit you up in the DMs or something. It's
another
book.
So hold on. Wait a minute. You gonna ask me if I'm single and slide in Marcus's DMs?
It's the glasses.
I'm in all of your DMs. I was on my last
time talking
to somebody.
It's
true.
Okay, Providence, got it. I will definitely check it out. I love Alan Moore, so anything he writes, I'll be on board.
Me too. Show is wild.
I love you,
all right, love you, buddy, Mr. Caller, Anonymous.
Bye.
Bye.
Into the West Comics After Dark, everybody.
Is that what that was?
More I've or less. Never heard a bye that sounded so much like a this way.
Bye.
Bye. That was hot.
Yeah,
the wave was in our bye.
Huh? It's you. Bye, everybody. All right. Frank.
I've lost all train of thought.
Frank is going.
There was a train?
There wasn't.
Frank.
Choo choo, baby.
Frank, you better bring it because there's some competition here some that is leaving you behind, as I can see.
I present to you issue 2 of Ultimate X-Men by the great Peach Momoko. Nice. If you're doing it just on art alone, the art is incredible. We all know that she does something to us. You know that her roots are in horror. Horror artwork.
I got a little excited.
That's her background, her history. If you ever look at any of the variant covers that she's done for a number of Marvel and DC books over the years, basically anything. The cover art is like ridiculous. I'd say that this was a story when I read the first issue, I wasn't sure. Because it felt like it was telling like two different narratives.
Right.
And they're sort of like contrasting each other. This is obviously it's going to be armor based, the character armor based. But it feels like it's starting to go somewhere.
Okay.
And where I would have given like a series like 3 or 4 issues and then been like, all right, you know, whatever. I really like this. It kind of brought me around. So I enjoyed it. I'm excited to see where it goes. I know that within this Ultimate universe, we're obviously going to get an Ultimates series pretty soon.
Yeah.
Like in the next month or so, we're going to have the Ultimate series. We kind of have like the groundwork or the outline for what that's going to
Jeff Loeb read it.
That'd be good. What it's going to look like. And Ultimate Spider-Man has been great. Ultimate Black Panther has been pretty solid as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think this is the one that I was probably the most concerned about. And it seems like it's going to be like a kind of a slow burn, kind of like a Rick Remender type of thing, like burning to finally get to this point where she's building out this team.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what happens with that. But the artwork alone is amazing. Peach Momoko did an incredible job. And speaking of artwork, Tony Fleeks, you know, we've talked about in the last few weeks.
Uncanny Valley.
With books like Feral, Local Man, Stray Dogs. David Wachter and Tony Fleeks are with this 6-issue. This is a Boom Studios joint. The story is about Oliver and the relationship with him and his mother. There's a lot of callbacks to like some Dragon's Lair and He-Man type of things, but it also ties in sort of like a Looney Tunes vibe. And Tony Fleeks does a really good job as far as his storytelling with there is always sort of like a tension build. And he's able to do this when they get towards the end of the story. Basically, Oliver is from two different lineages to where one is part of the actual world that we know. And then part of it is the animated world. And when you get towards the end of the issue, it's starting to connect those dots. It's got like some kind of sad moments as well because he does like a family tree and he just draws himself and his mom. Because he doesn't really have the connection to the rest of the family. So it's kind of like sweet and cute, but it's also kind of sad. So, and there's these crows that are following Oliver throughout the book. And all I can say is that it feels like it's going somewhere really cool. This is a 6-issue limited series. Feels like that's what we get from Boom Studios for the most part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where it goes. I've really enjoyed this first issue, and I can't wait to read more. Dan Mora has done a variant cover for it.
Now you're talking my language.
Fleeks and Forstner, obviously, done some art with that. It's been great so far. I'm enjoying this a lot. And, of course, the thing we've been talking about every week, it seems like we'll be talking about it all the time for the rest of the summer. Blood Hunt is coming.
Yo.
You better prepare yourself. Yeah. The vampires are taking over.
You met Jim
my blood
McKay,
is ready.
Right?
No.
My hunt is ready.
The blood is...
all right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
Did you meet Jed McKay at the con?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
No.
Also, shout out to Crocodile Black from our guest 2 weeks ago. That I cannot wait for everybody else to read that.
Oh, yeah.
It was
yeah.
phenomenal.
That,
yeah.
that was cool.
Anyways, had to really stick that in there.
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
That's what I got.
All right, make a choice, Shane.
I can't believe this is happening.
And it can't be Tessa.
Is there a way to have a four-way tie here? Because everyone brought was
I need to, like, pump my numbers. Can I just do this?
Hey! Tessa wins. I'll tell you why Tessa wins. Because...
Tell me why.
The first book, I can't... What's the first book called that has...
Is it because she's a redhead?
That too. Of course, because she's a redhead. But, the good, first book with that goes inside your brain. Name that
Sunflower.
Sunflower. That's fantastic, of course. Tessa wins, but strong second is Marcus and that Ghostwriter. And anything Garth Ennis does is fantastic. That art is fantastic as well.
Yeah.
And then for Frank, I mean, come on, everything Frank brings in is nuts. It's new and fresh and cool, and that's what Frank does. He just always does that.
Because I'm so fresh and cool.
Yeah.
So fresh and so clean, and then, clean.
Yeah. With the youth.
Yeah.
I'm with the youth.
With the youths. And then Paul is just Paul, but...
first of all, I'd like to mention that I was the first person to bring in Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
That is true.
So I don't want to hear it.
Did you win that week? I believe you did win that week.
I believe I did. Yeah. I brought in Tenement.
That is true as well. Yeah. Look at you go.
Paul, you're winning in the people's hearts. You're the one that everyone's calling in for.
Thank you.
So you don't need to win with Shane. It's
yeah.
fine.
He's the people's champion.
I don't
Paul.
Know whose side Tessa is on.
I'm my own side.
But I can't believe Tessa helped you it. Out. Yeah. But still, Tessa wins just because she's the best. One of the best guests we've ever
Tessa,
had.
Tessa, good job.
She's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that Frank enjoyed Ultimate X-Men because I was on the fence after that first issue too. You know, I expected stuff to be kind of abstract with Peach Momoko. That's just her style. But I haven't read the second issue yet. I have it at home.
Didn't even look like an X-Men comic. It was cool.
It does. Yeah. It's kind of like what Tom King is doing with Danger Street. Like you have absolutely no idea who these characters are, and then you have to kind of do your homework or kind of look for clues. Oh, that must be the Spider-Man or, oh, that must be the armor, you know, that kind of thing. Some are more obvious than others, but yeah. You know, I'm glad that he liked that. Cause that's reassuring for me. Cause I have issue two waiting.
I like when Frank likes things too.
Yeah. I like Frank.
Frank's cool.
Tessa wins again.
You don't get to pick a winner.
Uncanny Valley looks fantastic.
Anyways,
as well.
Continue. I also brought in new stuff last week. I'm going to throw some
I know. Shit. Paul, come on. But normally, 9 times out of 10, Sonny is the guy judging these things, and he hates everything you bring in for some reason.
I could bring him like $100 and he'd be mad.
He'd be like, nope.
Nope.
I hate people.
There's got a crease in this corner.
Well, he's stuck at an airport right now, so.
That's right.
Who's the joke on now? Him.
Mr. Jet Setter.
That's who.
Jet Setter is stuck at the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, I love you, Sonny. All my heart, so. You my dog.
Roof. My dog.
Roof.
We're going to check out one more trailer. Everybody seems to be excited about anything new Star Wars that we get. I showed you guys a trailer last week. It made you angry. But we're going to watch a new trailer for... the animated thing.
Oh.
And everybody... everybody
I was thinking about the act
people
light, which
booed
I had to...
me and got angry and whatever. But this week, I think I'm going to surprise and delight you with... the new trailer for Star Wars Outlaws, the open world game, the bounty hunters, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff. We're going to check out this trailer in just a moment. I think you guys are going to like it because, you know, you guys are hip and young and
cool.
Well, not you, but I mean, you guys are hip and young and you like video games.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
And
hip and young.
We're going to try this out, and I'm excited for this. I mean... I think it looks cool.
Each of you represents some of the most powerful criminal organizations in the galaxy.
Do we know?
Pikes, Crimson Dawn, Huts.
Spitters.
It's a golden age for the underworld. The Empire controls every corner of the galaxy.
Huh.
But they're distracted by a rebellion that won't quit. It's an opportunity to make millions.
this looks like video game animation.
Because it is.
The underworld's favorite video game. New scoundrel. We meet at last.
Really cracked the case there, Marcus.
What do you want?
Zarek Besh. They're new, rich, and lethal. You crossed their boss, Sliro.
So
and
rude.
Now, he wants you gone.
Yeah. Wasn't that mean?
Rob his fortune.
I agree.
Buy your freedom.
I'll let him have it.
This job, it's a death wish. I'm in.
Me and my butt cheer.
You live and die by your reputation. Who will survive? Know the players.
Hey, you're new to this world.
What's your problem?
Come back when you're not.
Jabba, right? Look, don't try anything. I got a whole crew surrounding the... I'm kidding, we're skipping that part.
Knew he'd be it.
For about as long as I can remember, it's just been me and Nix. Doing what we have to survive.
What a little cutie.
It's like Shane's dog.
Is my one shot at freedom.
Yeah.
But if we're gonna pull this
beautiful
off,
state. Landscape.
We need the right crew. Landscape. And the right ship.
They never work. Yeah, it's always the lobby.
I hired
the ships.
Because you were one of the best hunters in the Outer Rim.
Excuse me?
She's more connected than you let on, Sliro. Bess is mixed up in something bigger. The Outer Rim is a dangerous place. Everyone is fighting for their piece of the galaxy. But all I want is to live free. So I'm gonna risk it all.
Hold on, Nick!
Star Wars Outlaws pre-order available now.
Hey, it's a video game.
That scared me. That's gonna be good.
So,
what system is this for?
I think it's for whatever you got.
The Atari.
The Atari. I think if you have an Xbox or a PlayStation,
Windows
it should be fun.
Cloud City Games, so.
Get the Atari at Cloud City Windows so you 95. Can play Star Wars Outlaws.
We're on our way.
Windows 95.
That does look really cool, though. And I think, Windows 99. It's going to be an open world, kind of like the Assassin's Creed games, which is the same developers, which both makes me a little trepidatious.
Oh,
but
my
also.
You didn't like Assassin's Creed?
Not after the 19th one.
PS5, Windows, Xbox.
Yeah, so whatever you got, you should be able to play it on. But it does look very cool. I think my only my major concern is that Ubisoft has like a tendency to make big worlds that are super empty and don't have a lot to do in them. Mm. So that would be my major concern. But if they land there, I think that this is going to be really cool. And I haven't been playing a lot of video games for a while, actually, probably since I finished playing Elden Ring. But I'll play this. Like, this looks really cool. Unless it gets like thrashed by like reviews and stuff, then I'm not spending money on it. But
they need to bring Kyle Katarn back. Jedi Outcast was like one of my favorites, both on PC and the first Xbox. That story too of him is so compelling that they should make that into an animated series or some sort of
something.
It's confirmed that the character that what's her name? Amelia Clarke, the character that she plays in Solo is going to be in this game. She's going to be one of the main characters in this game. Well, not main characters, but major characters.
She in it.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm.
She be in it.
Because the Crimson...
Crimson Dawn?
Yeah, the Crimson Dawn. That's what she's a part of.
Thing
that they name drop. So she is apparently going to be in it. So I am.
Yeah, that was a big event, mini event that kind of spanned over Darth Vader, Star Wars, all the Star Wars comics, kind of like the Bounty Hunter, War of the Bounty Hunters sort of thing that they had going. So, yeah, I was wondering when they were going to actually revisit the Crimson Dawn. That was actually some pretty compelling stuff.
Why is everyone throwing Tessa so many compliments? It's getting out of here.
It's because she's great, Paul.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, Paul.
Can more people call and tell me I'm pretty, please?
I know, no kidding.
Hi, guys. Is the cute one single?
That was disingenuous, and I'm not a fan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It only happened like 5 weeks in a row that somebody was calling about you.
You think I'd be...
Not only that, but her background, she has some really sexy absolutes back there. I see some Kirby, Fourth World back there, absolutes. I see some Doom Patrol.
Have original art right over here.
Oh, snap, teasers. And then,
I don't have any pictures up right now. Yeah.
Man, very nice.
Anyways.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I think that video game looks pretty cool.
It does look cool. It does look
Shane,
fun.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah, man, why not? What else am I doing?
Tessa, will you play it?
I mean, I would definitely prefer to watch Shane stream this, because again, that would be
hilarious. If we could get Shane to stream playing any video game.
Imagine that.
Oh, bro. I'd die.
Bro,
he might die.
Madden tournaments. We used to be doing Madden tournaments all the time.
Back in the day.
Were you nice at Madden?
No, we were also horrible. Drinking a lot.
Yeah, so...
It didn't go well.
It didn't go well for a lot of people, especially if you weren't good at it. And we were, and Frank and I were good at it. Then
I bet
you guys
were brutal.
Oh, we clown you right out of the room.
How many controllers did you go through? Did you go through any controllers? Or were you good about that?
We weren't the one through. We weren't breaking.
I wasn't going to break my.
You guys were the guys winning.
Other people were.
Other people were pretty aggressive.
But this is before every glitch in the world consumed Madden, and now nobody can play the game. And you know what I mean? Everybody can't stand Madden.
I don't play Madden, so I don't know what you mean.
I understand.
But I will take your authority on the...
Have you ever played it?
I played Madden. I was really good at 2K, and me and Murad would play 2K until like 3 in the morning sometimes.
Right.
I couldn't do Madden. I was terrible. Terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hadn't played a sports game since Sega Genesis.
Mutant League Football and all.
Holy crap.
And then you got NBA Mutant Jam, League Football at
NBA
Cloud
Jam
City?
Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Way back.
That was good.
We do have a Sega Genesis, so, you know.
Do you really?
Nice. Yes.
We get them in all the time, yeah.
I love it.
Keep a bunch of like retro systems and games and stuff. Yeah.
When WrestleMania comes to Vegas, come down to Vegas and bring that Sega Genesis with you, and then we can all play.
Bring your Sega,
or you could like buy it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they're not expensive, my guy.
I mean,
you can play with that Sega over there, Shane.
Sega. Kwan's got one.
I'm not saying
you got an NES over there.
I'm not saying because I want to play Sega Genesis. I'm just saying this. Tessa can come down, hang out.
Just ask her to come hang with you. Don't try to bribe her with.
Done for like a Vegas con, but if you want me to wait until it's in WrestleMania. Like, it's fine. It's cool.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Tessa, he wants you to fly down here, give him the Sega Genesis, and then go
and
home.
Go home to the tri-state area.
For Shane, I'll do it.
I should have known.
You're the sweetest human being alive. I must admit.
Tessa, our time has gone by rather quickly. It always seems to.
this is the greatest show ever, I must admit. I'm loving this show. I don't know why.
Well, your spinoff is coming soon. Your holiday special.
Into the Shane comics.
We'll do a holiday special for you. Like 4th of July week, we'll just have you in the studio by yourself.
Absolutely.
Annual Quan zero episode.
Yeah. The power won't be on or anything.
Your zero issue. Yeah, your zero episode.
Tessa, how can they find you in your social worlds?
Well, use your dial-up.
I've got an AOL disc.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. You can find me. Oh, actually, they got rid of like AOL Messenger a little while ago.
Shoot.
Zero. But I'm on Instagram. Tessa is a nerd. Period in between each word. So Tessa period is period up period nerd. Yeah. On YouTube, Tessa is a nerd. TikTok, Tessa is a nerd. Threads. I'm over on Threads. Yeah. Yeah.
You're threading.
I like talking about comics with people, so you should come hang out with me. I also have a Discord now. Which is very fun.
Discord is really happening, I'm hearing. Yeah.
How's that dial-up?
Sounds sarcastic at all, did it? Oh.
What?
He wasn't kidding.
Marcus.
Sounds sarcastic. Right.
Marcus, what do you have for the people?
Marcus, what you got?
What's happening?
What's happening?
Oh. Not a whole lot, really.
All right.
Oh, come on.
How are the Golden Girls?
Golden Girls are
the
great.
The highlight of his week was hanging out with me.
That's right. Aww. That is right. That's right. Yes, absolutely. There it is. There it is. I know there's
I'm very
a...
offended you were late to hanging out with me, honestly.
Yeah.
He had work to pick up his shirt and his glasses.
Yeah.
He was stuck with Betty.
It was rough. You know, public service, it's rough. April the 20th, the weekend of April the 20th, we got Front Row Card Show, right?
Next weekend. 20th, 21st, yeah. Over there at the Rio Hotel.
Yeah, Front Row Card Show. Front Row
Card Show.
So if you're in the Las Vegas area, go on down to Rio Hotel and Casino and stop by. Huge convention area in there, and trading cards, not just comics, but trading cards. You got Funkos, you got all kinds of collectibles in there. It's really a lot of fun, and just come out and hang. You know,
come hang.
Yeah,
Shane. If you can come off your high horse
I just want to
super celeb. For the Shane comics. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank I just want to say shout out to Shimpson's Comics. Barney is one of my favorite people on this planet.
Nice.
Alternate Reality Comics with Ralph. They are Ralph is one of my favorite people on this planet, and I love everybody on this show. I love Tessa, I love Marcus, I love Paul, I love Frank, I love Sonny, I love everybody that's associated with anything. I love everybody. That's the way it is. Because I am officially drunk.
I was
going to
say.
Yep. It's happened.
Thank you, everybody.
Paul, how could they get a hold of us when we're in the tri-state area?
You can get a hold of us when we're in the tri-state area at Into the West Comics on Instagram and TikTok, which there will be quite a few clips coming up this week. You can find us at Into the West Comics on pretty much any platform, audio-wise, listening to the show. And if you're not able to catch it live, which you wouldn't be hearing this right now, but you never know. You can check us out there at Into_comics on Twitter. We talk comics. You'll see sometimes we post about what we're going to talk about on the show or what we're reading on Twitter. Sonny's Feet Finder.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. And that's it. Sonny's Feet Finder.
Into Sonny's Toes.
I forgot we had a TikTok. I would have added it to the latest little
In Toes of the West.
In Toes of the West that I did.
Yeah. It's everything that goes up on the Instagram goes up on the TikTok as well. Okay. But follow both or you're not our friends.
Yeah, man. Quit messing around.
Shots fired.
Paul ain't single, by the way.
He ain't single.
Quit messing around.
The Unabomber one still takes the I like that one.
We want to.
Oh, that's when I had the hood.
Yeah.
Again, we want to thank Tessa for taking the time to hang out with us and just give Shane's ego a little boost.
He needed it. Man, you really did make my night.
You really did need that.
Yeah, you guys can all tear him down for the next few months.
Yeah. Over the next 90 minutes.
Nothing can hurt me. Nothing will hurt me. I'm telling you that right now.
But again, we really do appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us. And we hope to have you back soon. We can talk more wrestling and more comics and everything else in between, more Sega games.
Yeah, good seeing you.
All those
Thank
things.
You, Tessa.
Thank
You're
you guys
fantastic.
For having me. It was great hanging out with you.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And again, just to reiterate what Marcus is going over, next weekend.
The top front row top show card shop drop hop. No, the top front
Don't
row
stop.
Card show.
Make
front row card show at the Rio Hotel and Casino. 300 vendors. Everything sold out.
Wow.
All really? Every table sold That's out. Cool. They're going to have sports collectibles, sports cards, Pokemon, comics, and probably some video games, pins,
are
all kinds of stuff.
Are we going to this?
Funko.
Yes, we're going.
We're going.
Okay.
Are we going?
I'm just saying. I just want to make sure everybody's going.
I wish I was going. I got my own local con this weekend.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, dude.
John's what? Comics with Kids says, you rock, Tessa. Keep up being... Just keep up
John.
Being
Everyone
you.
Should go follow John's Comics with Kids. If you're going to follow me, follow John instead.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
We talked to John about coming on soon. We're probably going to have him on pretty soon.
Oh, right on.
We've got to coordinate that, connect the dots.
I'll go to any show he's on.
Nice.
Very cool. All right.
Dang. All right.
But Tessa, we appreciate you. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
And
Bye.
You know, thanks for Bye. Loving Shane.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank
we'll
you for
you
loving
soon.
Me.
Have a great evening. If you guys haven't done so already, please add us to your pull box. We would appreciate it so much. Share, subscribe, like, love, live, laugh, laugh live, laugh,
live,
love.
Laugh, love. Love you, Eva.
Stay golden.
Love you, Eva.
Love you, Eva.
Yeah, there you go.
Love you, Eva.
Thank you, Tessa.
Please let us come back to your house, Eva. Good night.
Let us come back to your house.